Welcome to The Planted Runner. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik. Imagine heading out on a beautiful mountain trail surrounded by lush forest and breathtaking views. You have a completely clear schedule to run as long as you like, and the thought of embarking on a little running adventure thrills and excites you. If this sounds amazing, you're probably a trail runner. If this sounds daunting to downright terrifying, you're probably a roadrunner. But even the most diehard roadrunner has got to admit, there's something pretty magical, or at least a little romantic, about the idea of trail running. And if you'd like to try it or get better at it, there are a few things you're going to want to know first. Let's find out what. Welcome to The Planted Runner. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and my mission is to help you improve your running, your mindset, and your life with science-backed training and plant-based nutrition. Today, I've invited back Coach Tara Pruitt. Tara is a trail running and strength coach here in Asheville, North Carolina, and she also coaches with me at the Asheville Running Retreat in September. We're talking about the basics of trail running and how it's different from the roads. Hill techniques to be a better climber and downhiller, and we'll get into the types of specific trail training from beginner to more advanced. Spring is a great time to hit the trails, and after listening to this, you'll be even more prepared to tackle them. If you're new to the show and curious about all the ways I can help your running, nutrition, and mindset, the best place to find me is on Instagram at The Planted Runner, or head to theplantedrunner.com/link for a quick list of all the ways I help runners like you. You can check out my book, The PR Team, get a custom running plan made just for you, and so much more. That's theplantedrunner.com/link. If you're not new to the show, this is a great time to remind you about our monthly Apple Podcast Review Contest. All you have to do is write a 5-star review, and one lucky winner will receive free and pretty much instant access to one of my online running masterclasses. Reviews are truly the easiest and most impactful way of helping this show, and I choose a new winner every month. Don't forget to stay tuned all the way to the end of the episode for another Mental Strength Minute. Fortify your mind in 60 seconds or less. And now here's my conversation with Coach Tara. Welcome back to The Planted Runner, Tara.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. I figure it's spring and people are itching to get outside as the weather is getting a little nicer and lots of new people are going to be hitting the trails. So I thought it's time, a good time for a refresher for those who do run trails and for the people who don't run trails but would like to. So let's get into the basics. What makes trail running different than road running?
Ooh, it really depends on where you're going. And here in our area in Western North Carolina, it's really technical. Lots of roots and rocks and slippery creeks. And our terrain tends to have lots of elevation gain or descent. Also, in this area, we tend to have a lot of tree-covered trails. So you travel out west or midwest and you tend to have these open spaces where you can see for miles when you're on the trails. So around here, it's a lot more covered up. So we just have to be a little more prepared with maps and knowing where we're going and following trailhead signs and directional signs on the trails, or wondering, or also like being clear that you're not in a wilderness area, because those won't be marked as well. They are not allowed to be marked. So there's a lot going on when it comes to trail running.
Yeah. And with those trees, the spring actually is kind of nice because the leaves are down, so we get better views, hopefully. But the leaves are also usually trampled on this time of year. And so you're not trying to run through 8 inches of fallen leaves, right?
Yeah. And a lot of our area, we're in a rainforest. So a lot of our areas, everything's slick. If it doesn't get sunlight, usually, if it's down in valleys, it's going to remain slick all the time. And it tends to be a fact, you know, one of the factors we kind of don't take into account, like road running. We think of, oh, it rained a bunch. We just need to watch out to where the places that flood or get lots of puddles. But out in the woods, it's a whole nother factor of slippery, wet rocks, bigger creeks, possible washouts.
Yeah. Okay, you're scaring people away for sure. What do you love about trail running? What makes it so special?
The adventure of just exploring somewhere that your own 2 feet, that's the only place your own 2 feet have to take you there. You can't, a lot of places you have to go and explore and get a little uncomfortable and have the adventurous spirit. And especially around here, you can't drive to a lot of the places that you're going to catch that amazing view or be able to a lot of backcountry campsites to head to, or loops to take if you're going to take a solo loop, or if you want to take an out and back. So I think it's just that just being able to like bring out the adventurous side, and obviously planning from a safety standpoint, but just getting out and finding that, like, what's around this corner or what's at the top of this hill, or just being able to find the different foliage along the way. And it's just there's something just that nature just fulfills your soul when you're out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty
forest
special.
Bathing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, we don't have to have such a big adventure every time we go to the woods. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the adventure part is the thrill, but also a little bit of the fear, you know, for the fear of the unknown if you haven't done it. So what are some tips for just getting started? If you're like, oh, I'd love to go run in the woods, but it's kind of weird to go do this by myself. I'm not sure where to start.
I think that's a very natural feeling. And a lot of people... that tends to hold them back. And my suggestion would be to pick a place that you can do an out and back and start to build your confidence over time. We're not going to get better at it by not going out there, and we're not going to get or tap into our adventurous side and explore more if we don't do a little bit at a time. So if that means planning ahead and being able to pick a spot that you might feel more comfortable with, or you might read on different apps that will say that they have cell service, so you can reach out to someone if you fall into a position that you might want to make sure that you can call your loved one and let them know that you're okay. But also if you run into a situation that you're not sure of, then you can make double sure that you have cell service. But I ultimately think that it's just like everything in life, you have to be able to take that first step and get out there and go a little further each time, or explore a different trail each time. You know, the out and backs are the easiest way. And less intimidating from a time standpoint or distance standpoint, because you're going to see a familiar area, and you'll be able to kind of keep an eye on what time of day it might be in case you worry about weather, or being able to find your way back before dark. So yeah, out and backs are the easiest. They're just, and just keep testing the distance or the time or the boundaries of what your comfort levels would be.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you the way that I did it was I wanted to, you know, get into trail running a little bit. And, you know, I'm a road runner, you know that. But I really wanted to, you know, maybe go once a week to the trails. But I was just like, I don't want to get lost. I don't necessarily want to go by myself and get lost and everything. So luckily, the local running shop in town had a weekly trail running group. So, you know, we met in a parking lot at a trailhead. And I ran with a bunch of strangers who eventually became my friends. And, you know, that for me was like a way to feel safe, to feel part of a group, and to not get lost, and then eventually find community, which I think is super, super important. So, you know, I don't know if everybody has that in their town, but definitely hit up the local running shops. For sure.
Yeah. And they'll be able to tell you if there's ones like in our area. We have a lot of running groups to pick from morning times to joining Facebook groups that have maybe the moms that drop their kids off at school, and they have a mid-morning run group, and then the evening times, and then every almost every community has a weekend meetup as well. So I agree. That's a great way to kind of test the waters a little bit more and have maybe an explorer buddy, an adventure buddy to be able to get out and learn your way around. The other thing too, is just to look up there's different apps that you can play with that will help that do work and pull up even if you don't have service, so that you could, they could track your route as well while you're on it. You just have to be careful because those apps tend to drain your cell phone battery very quickly. But there's another avenue to kind of get out and just test the waters a little bit more each time and be able to try a new area. And I have found that a lot of clients will talk about meeting the mom groups are big and being able to reach out because the moms want that community when they have that free time. And that's a big group in our area.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's get into some technique. So, you know, most trails in most places are going to have some hills. Otherwise, they would just put a road there, right? Yes. So what should we remember about running up and down hills when we're on the trails? What should we be thinking about? Is there any kind of form technique? Like, how would you advise somebody when they're coming up to their very first hill?
So when it comes to hill running on the trails, I tell people to hike, just hike really fast on it until you get comfortable running that specific elevation gain. You know, it could be a grade, a percentage grade, but hiking is the most friendly way. And to get, especially if you're brand new to trail running, is to be okay with walking and hiking. And I call it riking. It's like a mix of running and a mix of hiking. And then when you're ready to pick up the pace, and one of the things to keep in mind is you're going to hit rocks and roots, and you might need to pick up your knees a little bit more. And you're almost always looking slightly down so that you don't trip. But yeah, I think it's just about like getting used to picking your feet up a little bit differently and picking your knees up a little bit more.
Yeah, that I can definitely relate to that. I was, when I was first getting into it, I was on what I thought was a pretty long trail run with some much more experienced people. And at the end of it, the group leader was like, "I can tell you're a road runner." And I was like, "What? How?" And he's like, "Because you don't pick up your feet." And I was just like, "Oh, no." But picking up your feet is good advice. It's not something you think about, but it certainly helps. And, you know, if walking or hiking is faster than running, definitely save energy and do it. I think people sometimes have a little ego when it comes to the hills, would you say?
I would definitely say that. But I think with trail running in general, if you're transitioning from road running to trail running, it is going to slow you down a little bit. And you could pick back up pace as you get more confident on the trail. I just think that it's good to know that up front. It was kind of a shock to me, and I got a little frustrated when I was making the transition from road running to trail running, because I was like, why is this taking so long? And my pace is slower and I can't keep the same, you know, mile per minute. And it would also depend on what route we took or how much climbing there was. And so going into it, knowing if somebody had said, "Hey, you're going to have to slow down a little bit until you gain some confidence on the trail," that would have been a really big piece for me to be like, "All right, I'm not that terrible of a runner." It's going to just take some time.
That's a really interesting point of it too, because, you know, when you go out for a road run, unless you're doing some kind of workout where you're going up and down in pace, you're pretty much, you know, steady as you go, just keeping it cool. But on the trails, your heart rate's going up and down, and you're stopping and you're walking and you're going down, you know, like it's a lot more variable, which for some people, it's not as comfortable, you know, to keep doing that up and down.
Yeah, and I think it would depend on what your goal is. And if you're transitioning from road running to trail running, or you even intermix it a little bit, just having that frame of mind that I may not be able to be as consistent with my pace at first, but that could get there. And I will tell athletes to mix trail and gravel until they're confident on the trail. So you don't have to run trail around here. You don't. It just depends on what you have access to, but you don't have to run the trail the entire time as you're making that progression into trail running. You could mix some gravel in there so that you can still feel confident about your speed and pace and feel on target with that, and then go play a little bit on the trail, either mix it in or put it at the beginning or the end of your run, wherever you feel comfortable or wherever you have access to.
That's a great idea. So we talked about the ups. What about the downs? The downhill running for most people, at first at least, can be terrifying, you know, absolutely terrifying. And there's a lot of times when you're actually going slower on the downhill than you are on the uphill. So what do we got to know about that?
So a couple things will come in play. If it's a technical trail, like say the Appalachian Trail, you're going to have sections of that you're just hiking down or stepping down, and that is going to slow you down. But if you have a section that you can run down, it's still similar to road running downhill form with that slightly forward lean, not a hinge, but a slightly forward lean, and keeping your feet a little more under you versus letting them get in front of you where you're heel striking and basically stopping yourself, you know, creating more impact. It's still similar. It just might have to change up a little bit depending on the type of technicality of the trail. There are sections of trails that you're just hiking down it because it's safer, more sustainable. And like you said, same thing as uphill. Same thing with downhill, is it's going to conserve some energy and save your muscles and joints and the longevity of your run if you continue to enjoy the trail running aspect of it.
Yeah. Because the inclination is to lean back into the hill, you know, to prevent ourselves from falling forward. So it's kind of a real mind shift to teach yourself you actually have to lean forward. Like, how do you have any tips for that mind shift, or just practice?
I think it's practice for sure. And if you know that the hard part about that is it's just our natural instinct, and so we're fighting against something that feels natural, and it does. It's going to take practice. It could depend on the type of trail that you're on. It could depend on how long you've been running and what that feels like naturally for you. So it just is going to have to be repetition, and you'll get better at it. Some people end up realizing they're better downhill runners than they thought. And I used to run with a friend that she would crush it on the downhill, and I'd be like, there's that little tiny bit of fear that just hangs on in the back of my head, that, you know, that little child, that inner child fear that keeps me like this little slow down, be more careful, take my time. It's okay. So I think, yeah, it's just going to take some time, and then you might realize you're a better downhill runner than you thought.
After a short break, we'll be back with more trail running tips.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.
Women's Running Stories, where we explore the intersection between running and life. Because every woman who is committed to a running journey has a story to tell, and this is where you'll find those stories. I am host and producer Cherie Louise Turner. I'm a 53-year-old runner, and together with original music by musician and runner Cormac O'Regan, we bring these inspirational stories to life. Please join us to fuel your adventures.
You know what's the best way to spend an afternoon after your long run? At the movies. Your hardworking legs get much-needed rest, and of course, there's plenty of snacks. If you love going to the movies, you're going to want to hear this. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just two visits. You can see any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership plan gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you won't just save money on tickets. You'll also save 10% on all non-alcoholic concessions items. Yep, you not only save on movies, but snacks too. So if you're planning to see two movies this month, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or at regmovies.com/unlimited and use my code PlantedR24. That's planted, the letter R, 24 at regmovies.com/unlimited. Welcome back to The Planted Runner and my conversation with Coach Tara Pruitt. One thing that some people I know think about, especially if, you know, you're in road running for performance, you're concerned about your speed, you love doing everything fast, they're concerned that trail running, you know, do too much of it and it's going to slow you down. Any thoughts on that?
I see that that would be a concern. And I have a few athletes that kind of mix the two. And depending on the athlete, some of the things that I would suggest is to really hone in on your speed work where you're comfortable doing that throughout your week and then play on the trails on the weekends and sprinkle the trail. Unless you're making a complete transition to trail running and you want to compete in that aspect, then you're going to need to do speed work, you know, somewhere on a trail to get yourself used to that. But it doesn't always have to be extremely technical, and not all trails are that. Some are very well groomed, like a railway or trails like out in Colorado are very well groomed, and they're easy to do things like that type of workout on. But it's just going to take a little bit of mix, you know, mixing it in gradually. And I do believe that you can be just as fast on the trails as the road. It's just going to take practice for the transition of it and what your body will allow. And some of it can depend on your experience as a runner versus making that complete transition 100%. It just needs to be a little at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it also depends on where you are in your training cycle, what your goals are. Like if you are trying to run, you know, a fast marathon next month, you shouldn't be spending a lot of time on trails. You know, you should be getting specific for that road race. But when your next marathon is 5 months away, yeah, go out there, have fun, do stuff, do live life, right?
You know? Agree. Yeah. Or I will tell an athlete to put, if they are stacking runs, you know, back to back to back, one of their runs will be what I call a fun run or a go out and enjoy yourself. And this is just the time that you're going to do that in. And it's still keeping them in either a zone or an RPE so that they can enjoy doing something that they love in their program. But yes, well ahead of a goal race for sure, especially if that's not the type of race they're going to be doing.
Right, exactly. So a lot of these trail runs, especially once you get into it, or if you are training for a trail race, a lot of these runs take all day or half a day. You know, they take many, many hours. So I would love to know, what should we pack?
Ooh, yes. So it depends on the race. Some races, you want to look at how far apart their aid stations are and what their aid stations might provide, but also know what you should be training with the fuel that you're going to use for your goal race. And you want to make sure that you carry the things that you know the aid station may not provide. You know, if they provide something like Tailwind, then you don't use that, you're going to need to make sure you're carrying the fuel that you're used to using. And of course, practice with what you're going to use race day. Don't do anything new on race day.
Right.
But I encourage athletes that to carry water, of course, electrolytes, extra electrolytes, depending on the race and how the weather conditions, or if you have found during training, then you're going to want things like butt wipes and chafing, you know, anything that any kind of lube that you would normally use. And then some people like chews or some type of a, you know, goo, whatever that might be. And some runners rely completely on that. But because, like you said, the amount of time that you'll be out on the trails, hopefully during training, you've navigated what type of fuel works best for you. Does real food work better for you? You know, can you rely just on a liquid type of fueling? Is that what works best for you? And then making sure, you know, I carry my cell phone, a hanky, chapstick, a small first aid kit if I'm going to be out in wilderness areas. That way, my little first aid kit will have like an ankle brace in it just in case. It really can relate specifically to the race that you're doing and how far apart the aid stations are and generally what type of fueling those aid stations will have. I personally don't care for a lot of aid station food. I like to have my own fueling and things that I know that my stomach will tolerate and has tolerated throughout training.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff from what I hear at Trail Race Aid Station just kind of runs the gambit. I mean, there's so much real food, you know, birthday cake, you know, fruit, sandwiches, barbecue. I mean, it's like a party at sometimes.
Yes. Quesadillas. Pumpkin
quesadillas.
Pie.
I cannot imagine running full of quesadillas, but
well, they're pieces. They're a piece.
Yeah.
Like, and grilled cheese. Like that was one day during one race, a grilled cheese saved my life. I was like, whoa, I didn't know I needed this right now. This saved my world. And a piece of pumpkin pie too. On my first 50K, I was like, who knew pumpkin pie would be the best thing in the world at 24 miles? Like I felt like a new person.
Yeah. And Camille Heron, the ultra runner, she drinks Guinness, you know.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yes. I mean, not like every
regular
stop, but yeah, she'll always have a beer.
Yeah. I carry a bottle of Fireball, a small bottle of Fireball when I'm doing a race. And if I summit a mountaintop or a race at a race location and I'm like, okay, I made it and now we're going home. Yeah.
Funny. All right. So let's switch gears just a little bit to trail shoes. Do we need specific trail shoes or can we just, you know, run with the shoes we've got?
I think trail shoes are beneficial. You don't have to make that investment initially unless you just find that you're going to fall in love with it and do it regularly. But I do think trail shoes are made a little bit differently from the 4 foot to the type of sole that it has, as far as I call them lugs, but the bottom of the shoe is going to have a little bit more grip to them and bigger lugs and be able to kind of grab the trail and be able to keep you hopefully from slipping. Some shoes are made more durable or thicker than others, and you just have to give them a little bit of a try. Plus, road shoes are going to have they're going to have a small lug, but it's more of a smoother surface. It's going to have a different type of forefoot in it. It's going to give you a different shove forward. And so I think trail shoes are extremely beneficial. Mm-hmm. Some of them come waterproof as well. So if, you know, that's something that you end up in areas that get a lot of rain, or like us, we're a rainforest area, a lot of our trails seem to stay damp or wet. Or if you end up doing a trail race that sadly would, I hope this never happens to anybody, but it does, where you get rained on the whole time. So a waterproof pair of shoes to keep your feet dry is a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. So what about some trail workouts? You know, I mean, when I really think about trail running, I think of just going out for a run and just, you know, doing whatever happens, and it's all like free flowing and wonderful and all of that. But, you know, if you're really training for a trail race, or if this is your main form of exercise, you don't always want to be in the same zone the whole time. You want to do some workouts. Do you have any examples or any tips for some trail workouts?
Yeah. So I think, yes, you're right. Most of your 80% of your week, 70 to 80% of your week is going to be in a zone two, because you're ultimately training to be out there, like you said, for a very long period of time, hours, depending on the athlete. It could be, you know, anywhere from 4.5 to 5 hours to 8 or 9 or 12 hours, depending on your goal. So from a standpoint of the other types of workouts, it's still going to be similar to road running, but it could be a slight bit different. So you're still getting stride work in there. You're still getting speed work in there. And I encourage athletes to switch that to possibly a gravel terrain. So use your warm up on the trail if that's what you'd like. But if you can do some of your speed work on more of a gravel terrain, so you're still training your body to be used to that slightly unstable foot strike, that's still going to be beneficial to your training. But yeah, you're still going to get the speed work, still going to get the strides, you're still going to get progression work. It's just going to look a little bit different from where you decide to take that. And again, it could slow down just a little compared to road running, but it will get back there as your body adjusts to being on the trails consistently.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, your numbers on your watch aren't going to look the same, but you definitely can get all the same effort levels yes. that you can on any other surface, for sure.
And I find that athletes that combine the two, they start to see their road running change in a good way. So I think that it's not a bad thing to mix them. But again, like you said earlier, making sure that you're doing that well ahead in the beginning of your training block so that you're not adding something new, like we would normally discourage any other type of new activity too close to a race. We want to stick to you put in this work, you want to stick to your goals and finish out that training block close to the race. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you're really involved in the trail community, of course, and you've got something special coming up. Why don't you tell us what is happening in a couple weeks?
Yeah. So I am the host of the Trail Running Film Festival here in Asheville, but this is a global film festival. And last year we were in over 60 cities around the globe. And this year we hope to surpass that. But the interesting thing was this tour used to travel on its own, but it was the Trail Running Film Fest company would travel before COVID and hit each city. And then when COVID hit and they decided to bring it back 2 years ago, so in 2023, they were like, hey, we want to bring this back, but we want to try a new approach. So they reached out to everyone on their email list and said, we want this to end up in your city. Would you consider being a host? So I was like, we'll apply and see if they consider me to be a host. We have an amazing trail running community here in Asheville. Mm-hmm. So I applied and I was like, surely they want a running store or, you know, a group. I don't have a run group at the moment, but in the past I had run groups. Like, surely they want someone that's got a community already going. And they gave it to me. So I was like, you do realize I've never done this before. he said, I think you're a perfect fit and it's yours. So last year I brought the Trail Running Film Festival to Asheville and it was a hit. We hosted it at our music venue, which is downtown called the Orange Peel. But it is in other cities. So if you can't make it to Asheville and visit us here, you can look up trailfilmfest.com and see if it's in a city near you. So we just had our first films featured starting last weekend. So they will go through, last year we had them go through the fall. So there could be a Trail Film Fest visiting your local town. And if not, they're still taking hosts. So you can reach out to them and see if that's something that you want to bring to your city or town or running store. The cool part is it was up to each host how that was going to fit into their community. And some communities are having it in a barn and having a group run before and then celebrating the film fest in a barn. So I decided that it was to showcase our town. We would have it at the Orange Peel, which is our most popular music venue here. And we will have three group runs throughout the weekend. We'll have two on Saturday morning, one on Sunday morning. We'll also have a free feature film of a documentary called Upward. And it is a film feature of 500,000 feet of vert in 31 days on one trail. And it's a local trail here. I know that's I could barely say the words without thinking, how did that happen? So we have a great weekend planned with the film festival itself ending on Sunday evening. So we're going to
And what are the dates of those?
April 20th and 21st.
All right. Very cool.
We'd love to have you visit Asheville.
Yeah, for sure. We'll have all of the info in the show notes. So if anybody wants to sign up, bring it to their city or come to ours, that would be great. All right. Well, Tara, this has been great to have you back on the show. You and I hosted the Asheville Running Retreat together last fall. We're doing that again this year. So if anybody wants to run with us, head to theplantedrunner.com/retreat, and that will be in the show notes too. Always great to see you, Tara. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
And now it's time for the Mental Strength Minute, fortifying your mind in 60 seconds or less. Today's topic is turn the butterflies into wings. It's completely normal to be really nervous before a hard workout or a race. You're about to do something really hard, and it's not obvious that it's going to go well. Your stomach is churning and your heart is racing. This is very uncomfortable, but it's all a part of the flight or fight response. Your body is prepping for flight by turning up the adrenaline and speeding up your heart rate. Take a deep breath and remember, the nerves you're feeling are there to help you perform better. So don't forget to turn those butterflies you're feeling into wings. Thank you for listening to The Planted Runner, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Don't forget that you can win free access to one of my Sprint Session masterclasses just for writing an Apple Podcast review. So be sure to write yours right after your run today. Reviews are the number one way to boost this show's reach, and it's a great way to tell me what you'd like to hear next because I read every single one. Have a great run today.
Hear Her Sports is a podcast for everyone who loves stories by and about women striving to improve and make a difference in their lives. I am your host, Elizabeth Emery, a former professional cyclist. In every episode, I introduce a female athlete or woman in the business of sport through a thoughtful conversation about who they are and the terrific work they're doing. My guests and I explore the glorious and frustrating issues in sports, history, equity, training, nutrition, and so much more. Join us for inspiration, for community, and for love of being a strong athletic woman.